We are WNST. AM 1570, Tassel, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. It is summertime around here. We're into August, and we are doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with GBMC and our partners at Farnan and Dermer, who bring our sports coverage together. Had a good time last week out at Costas. We're going to be mixing things up here at the Fishmonger's Daughter in 2 weeks on the 19th, 26th. We're going to be at Coco's in Lauraville, also going to be at State Fair before the month is over in Catonsville. All it brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I'll have the Ravens scratch-offs to give away. This was a lucky batch last week at Costas. We had some people screaming, "I won, I won." Said how much? Only a couple bucks, but it's okay. Luke Jones is here. He is not been the big winner in this last week of football and baseball and baseball and football and Zay Flowers and trading away Rutschman. It was weird watching Rutschman, walk onto the field at Fenway and seeing the video of all that. Meanwhile, the Orioles were piecing things together. And for those who are watching the broadcast, 4 hours of apologies from the team ownership and everyone else. I don't know. And they still win. And you and I even made a case after beating them up for 45 minutes on Monday morning that who knows? Maybe they'll play 574 ball the rest of the way and make the playoffs because it's not that weird. They still have some decent players.
They do. And yes, mathematically, we've talked about that. It's well within the realm of possibilities. There have been far, far stranger things that have happened in the course of baseball history. But I'm going to continue to go back to what we talked about in the immediate aftermath of the Adley Rutschman trade. I also am not going to ignore how this team has played for 2 years, right?
With
And
Adley
with Adley Rutschman, yeah, I mean, I
Rutschman.
cited it at the time. I said, what? I said, when he's been in the lineup since the beginning of July 2 years ago in 2024, the record's still 101 and 125, right? I mean, it's right in line with how they've played collectively. So,
And meanwhile, Grayson Rodriguez is kicking their ass, and the guy that they got for him, they've already given away.
yeah, well, and it's funny. I offered a 12 Orioles thoughts at BaltimorePositive.com. A day later, right? A chance to talk to Pete Alonso, a chance to talk to some guys in the clubhouse, a chance for everyone to just let this marinate for a day, at the very least. And it was very weird, right? It was a very strange coincidence that the day after they trade Taylor Ward, the day after they trade Adley Rutschman, Grayson Rodriguez, who at one point in time was held with not the same level of reverence as Rutschman, but was their number one pitching prospect and
He
one
was
of their.
held at the same reverence as Storm Davis was at one point.
Sure. And he's had a terrible year. He's had injuries. When he has pitched for the Angels, he hasn't pitched very well. But as I reminded everyone at the time of the trade, if you recall, I did not like that trade. And it had nothing to do with Luke continuing to have this obsession with Grayson Rodriguez. It was more the idea of if you're going to trade him, all you get back is 1 year of Taylor Ward. Now, granted, they traded him for three pitchers, and we'll see how these three pitchers pan out. One has been in the majors as a reliever. These guys profile
So
as
Rodriguez
relievers.
has turned into these pitchers plus
Yeah.
the 400 at bats they gave Taylor Ward to
Right,
hit a bunch of
right.
doubles and singles.
But the reality for Rodriguez all along that I noted with this was he's got 3 more years of club control after this. I mean, he can still go through some very deep valleys and still come out on the other side and pitch well enough to say, that trade wasn't smart. So that aside, he pitched well, but Cade Povich pitched well. And obviously the Orioles are facing the worst team in baseball. That certainly helps when you're coming out of a trade
Wait,
deadline
with
where.
Rodriguez, they didn't deal him because of him or his stuff or whatever, like Arrieta and some of these other guys that couldn't figure it out.
Been hurt.
They dealt him because he was hurt. I mean,
Been
they
hurt.
felt like he was damaged. I think. I mean, if I'm speaking from the outside, I as a fan, I felt like, they see something in him in the body that they don't like medically.
Well, and I said it to you a number of times as they were going through that with him for an entire calendar year where he didn't pitch, right? You start talking about the kinetic chain where a guy's having lat issues, a guy's having a shoulder issue, which, the lat is very close to that. Started having elbow issues, right? And not necessarily any things that are, oh, he has to have Tommy John or, oh, he has to have rotator cuff surgery. But you just wonder, and you wonder, how does someone train? What are the genetics like, right? I mean, we talk about this all the time in a general sense, the idea that the human body and the human arm and the ulnar collateral ligament didn't seem intended to throw a baseball 100 miles per hour, although I would say, well, but people do it, so I guess you can do it. We talk about that. We talk about the idea that pitchers break, and I obviously Mike Elias was he's talked about this in the aftermath of that. They like Taylor Ward. They liked Taylor Ward for a couple years. They got Taylor Ward. They got a different version of Taylor Ward than he had played than the guy that played in Anaheim, right? He walked a whole lot. Wasn't bad
Well, this
this
was a
year,
factor of
but
the offseason of trying to replace Santander, trying to get a right-handed bat, trying to get a right-handed power bat. That was the focus of this when it happened, right? It wasn't, let's get rid of Rodriguez. It was, he ain't going to pitch anyway. He's damaged
yeah.
goods. Let's rent an outfielder. Let's go try to win the World Series. I mean, listen, I've never said Elias is not trying to win,
Sure.
or not using Mr. Rubinstein and Mr. Arrighetti's money in some. You conceivable some fashion that you and I could justify it the day after. Like, we are the ones, there's nobody else. I mean, there's fans on the internet, and there's you and me, and there's a handful of people that are willing to criticize them, and then the baseball community that comes in and says, great trade, bad trade. And there was a little bit of all of that going on the other day.
Sure.
The Rodriguez thing, the minute it happened, it was risky in a general sense, all the way around, that he could turn into Jake Arrieta or he could flame out. But all we knew all along was you were getting 4.5, 5 months of Taylor Ward. That's what you were getting. And that didn't turn, the first 3 months didn't turn out so great. So I don't know. You can't win every trade. You know what I
Sure,
mean?
sure.
And
Well,
certainly on Tuesday night, Grayson Rodriguez gives us a reason on Wednesday morning to wake up and say, oh shit, they're going to get 600 innings out of him the next 3 years. And, of at least Dean Kramer kind of pitching. Maybe not Jim Palmer, but like he'd look good as our number three or our four. But Jim Palmer would have said that opening day 2 years ago, opening day last year, the Texas start in the playoff game where they tried to throw me out and throw you in. I'm okay with the errors of effort. You know what I mean? The things we beat him up on Monday was more integrity and more like accountability, but like they can justify all of these deals, right? I mean, the Rutschman thing, we haven't gone way into it, but I've read more on the internet. Like, Red Sox fans think we got over. We better win the World Series this year. We dealt for Rutschman is kind of how, or next year at least, in the way that they've looked at it. But I think when we look at trades, it is always the morning after subjective, and there is some sensibility to all of it because these are really smart guys with computers.
yeah, and I want to be very clear as I'm bringing up Grayson Rodriguez. Even after a start in which he throws 7 innings of 2-run ball, he has a 7.24 ERA this year.
Fair enough.
I'm still talking about that through looking through a long-term lens. My issue was never trading Grayson Rodriguez. It was what you received in return, and feeling for me that that was light. 1 year of Taylor Ward, which ended up being less than a year of Taylor Ward. And of course, they flipped it into three potential relievers. We'll see if one or two of these guys emerge as a part of a really good bullpen in the next couple years.
When the next
But
general manager gets here after the strike, right?
who
Like,
knows?
as
Sure,
we're
sure. I
talking
mean,
about.
who knows what's going to happen at this point? But for me, it was just philosophically, I didn't like the return for the trade much more than, oh my gosh, they need to hold on to Grayson Rodriguez. He's the future Mike
But
Mussina or the.
philosophically, if Taylor Ward had 23 home runs right now and this thing was on skates and they had a 5-game lead
They
in the
wouldn't have
American League
traded him.
East.
They wouldn't have traded. I mean, it's what I, my overall point about the Rutschman deal, right? If Adley Rutschman had played much better over the last 2 years and not been hurt, they're probably not trading him there. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that he plays out his entire contract. It could have been a situation where if they're 4 games, 5 games, 8 games over 500 this year, and Adley Rutschman alone wasn't doing that, right? I mean, that's when we get into Gunnar Henderson. You just mentioned Taylor Ward not hitting for power. Go down the list, but let's just say this team were playing better. The timeline for trading Rutschman probably gets pushed back to what? The winter, right? Because, there's been enough reporting out there that they tried to extend him. Now, we can sit here and speculate about what the numbers were, what the terms were, any of that, right? But it takes two to tango. And I mean, it doesn't seem, considering they've been able to extend some other guys now that on the pitching side, Basayo's not an, that's not an apt comparison because you're talking about someone who had just begun his major league career. But if Adley Rutschman's not going to extend, How do you proceed, right? And that's where it is more challenging, right? You'd hate to hold on to them until next year's trade deadline. If they're not playing well again, then you're getting a fraction of what they got for him on Monday. So I've said it all along. I can justify trading Adley Rutschman the way they did on Monday in a vacuum, but none of these decisions are made in a vacuum. And I think the overwhelming route of a root of the frustration for fans is getting to this point, right? The idea that where this thing was 3, 4 years or four, even just 2 years ago and where it's been since then, that's where the frustration is. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. And, as I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, this is why all along people are skeptical of these intentional, deliberate, multi-year rebuild, tank, whatever you want to call it. Look at how it played out for the Orioles. Go back to 2022, the trade deadline there, right? Where they sell off Trey Mancini and Jorge Lopez. They were in a similar position in the standings to where they are today in terms of the math, right? Just being a couple games out of a wild card spot. So you looked at that, you said, okay, you can make a compelling argument to buy. You can at least make a compelling argument to stand pat. Mike Elias chose to sell. And what did he say at the time? We don't want to do things to jeopardize 2, 3, 4 years down the road. And at that point in time, that was certainly defensible, right? That's not like that was so over the top egregious. They weren't 15 games over
Well, you wonder
500.
where their window is. What is their real window
Well, and that's,
this
but the,
year and or the next 2 or 3 years, given Henderson, Rutschman, and Holiday, right?
right,
Because
but
that's at the heart of it. And now they've got Alonso. They spent all this other money in the last 6 months. It's how can this not be better? And when is the right time to give up on it? And July 31st, or actually in this case, August 3rd at 6 o'clock, whatever it was.
it's still July 31st,
Yeah.
traditionally speaking. Yeah.
Okay, well, as it goes, that's the day you have to make a decision, not the day before, not the day after. Keep in mind, the day they made the decision, they had just lost 13 to nothing and struck out 30 times in 3 days in a rain-shortened weekend, and are continuing to move backwards in the standings at that point. So, and Rutschman doesn't feel to be a big part of a playoff surge for them, although the Red Sox think that, or maybe the Red Sox think they have a 2-year window with Rutschman, which is kind of the way they saw it with their prospects, right?
Yeah, let me just finish my point though, because
But
I
the
was trying
Orioles
to.
window was this year because of Taylor Ward and dealing right. Like they really did
I mean,
move Bassett, Eflin, they were trying to win. I mean, I'm not saying they weren't
they were trying
trying.
to win, but I
I'm
don't
saying if
think.
I bought tickets in March, I would have believe they could be a playoff team. There haven't been a lot of marches around here. I've been here 35 years, dude. There haven't been a whole lot of marches where you and I were talking about playoffs around here. Playoffs. Like I had him at 92 wins. I was a believer. I was a believer in the talent. I was a believer in Grayson Rodriguez's arm would be a 7.5 ERA, like all of that. So anyway, continue on. Your
Yeah,
soliloquy.
so the point I was trying to make is, you go back to where they were in 2022, and the message at that point was you don't want to compromise the future. Even 2023, they're in the midst of the best season in 43 years in terms of the regular season, right? On their way to their first 100-plus win season since 1980. And you look at that, and yes, they didn't buy much, right? Jack Flaherty, the reliever, what, Fuji? And it just and it, but once again, the message was, we still have this very bright future. We don't want to be too hasty and jeopardize that. Well, the problem is then you fast forward to last year, you're not as good. And then what do? You take a step back in the name of what? The future. This year's trade deadline, you're not as good. You take a step back in the name of what? The future. So the point is, you kind of get in this interminable period of, well, we're building towards the future. We're building towards the future. We're building towards the future, whether it looks bright at the moment or whether it looks not so bright at the moment. And the problem is, and this is where people really get cynical about these tanks and long-term rebuilds. And it's not to say that it didn't work whatsoever for the Orioles. 2022 did happen. 2023 did happen. 2024 did happen. But just in terms of speaking about it from a philosophical standpoint, you kind of stay in that stuck in between, right? Where you're not really building anymore, but are you really committing and going all in? And when I say all in, there's varying degrees of that, right? Doesn't mean that they needed to trade their entire farm system in 2023, but there were bold moves that they could have made to go get a Garrett Crochet or a Tarek Skubal or, you know, any of the big names that have been dealt over the last 3 to 4 years, right? So that's where people get cynical about this. And that's where people don't trust these types of processes. I mean, my goodness, I've mentioned this before. My pastor is a Pittsburgh Pirates fan. And not to say that the Pirates have had very many periods of time where they look like they're on the uptick, but they've had a couple over the last 3 decades. And but they never really get there. And there are all kinds of reasons for that, right? I mean, payroll and things of that nature, but also, are you willing to make bold moves, right? And that's where you look at Mike Elias and say, look, when he's selling off, he's done pretty well in his trades, right? Last year, those trades were pretty well regarded. And certainly when you look at it just in terms of the value that he's fetched in these trades, he's been pretty universally praised by the baseball prospect, you know, media types, right? Looking at it in terms of that. People that know way more about minor league players than you or me. But that said, that's not what wins you World Series at the end of the day, right? That's not what's going to guarantee you prolonged success. At some point in time, you flip the switch, right? And when they flipped the switch a few years ago, it still ended up being very lukewarm, right? I mean, okay, they did the Corbin Burns trade. That was great. I still do that 100 times out of 100, even knowing how it turned out, right? Joey Ortiz and DL Hall. Joey Ortiz is a utility infielder, basically. You know, he looked like he might be a starting player for about half a season. You know, since then, he's a role player. And DL Hall has continued to have health issues. That was a great trade, whether they extended Burns or not. That ended up being a really good trade. But so many other moves that he's made just haven't worked out in terms of building and really trying to enhance the major league roster. And I think that's where all this frustration boils down to. I mean, I know a lot of fans felt very warm and fuzzy about Adley Rutschman, and I get that, and I understand what he represented, but you know me, I've been out on the idea that Adley Rutschman's this amazing ball player for going on 2 years now. He's one of the biggest reasons why they fell off in the second half of 24. He was not good last year either. Even this year, yes, he rebounded and his defense has been great. I'll give him that. His defense this season has been better than ever. But even his offensive numbers this year, go look at the splits of what he did in March and April compared to what he's done since then. What he had done since then, much more fine and you know? So I don't think it's so much Adley Rutschman, it was the idea of it. And it's just where they are right now. And fans have every right to be ticked about that, right? This is not what was promised. As I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, as I said to you when we talked about this in the hours right after it happened, I think there's really, this sounds dramatic, but I don't think it is. I think fans feel a sense of betrayal in terms of what the current era was intended to be. And then when you pile on 4 decades of frustration for this franchise,
and Peter Angelos' ownership, let's throw that in. Well, just how awful it used to be.
Yeah.
And they have not acknowledged any of the trauma that the fans have faced here. It's like we're supposed to have amnesia about what they don't know, they didn't live, they don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
They just think I'm a prick from Dundalk. They don't understand this whole thing started with a billionaire being a prick to everyone and me taking phone calls every day for years. 5 years, 6 years, a long time when you're 30 years old and on the radio every day, 4 hours a day, trying to explain away the inexplicable, how horrible the Angelos people were in general for 33 years. And they've inherited that and completely don't acknowledge that it ever happened. And we all lived it. So that's our reality. That's my reality. It's still my reality. You have a media pass tomorrow that you're not using because you're at the football stadium, and I'm going to be at the baseball stadium looking at the empty seat in the press box with my name on it. after 28 years of doing this. So they're not normal. Nothing, none of this is normal. Firing your manager and hiding for 4 days and showing up in Milwaukee doesn't get you fired. I clearly the labor situation, and I want to get back to this because something we didn't talk about much on Monday. The Rutschman thing, as I understand it, is as much to think that Elias would believe or, and again, this is Elias, Bujaj, and the two bosses, the billionaires. If Elias and the bosses get along, it's a win-win. It's like Chad Steele and Steve Bisciotti. Like, Chad, I can think Chad Steele's the most incompetent, worst person I've met in sports in 40 years. Steve Bisciotti likes him. He is the bouncer. And in the case of the Orioles, Elias is their guy for now. They've allowed him carte blanche, right? They gave him more money the other day to give more money away, right? Or pull more money back. But at the end of the year, Rutschman may not put a Red Sox jersey on next year if they don't play, and we're going to wind up with all these prospects, right? That's kind of one of the things we may have missed in the early going, which is, labor. I've said for 3 months, labor is going to be a big part of the trade deadline. Money, where you want to sit in the war when the war happens, whether you want a general manager, whether you don't, how much you want sitting on your payroll, how many young guys you want, because they're going to play baseball next year. The young guys are going to play at Norfolk. The minor leagues are going to go on, right? So the younger guys are going to get to play.
Anyone that's not on a 40-man roster, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
So dude, you've been at this 2 decades. I've been at it 4. We've been through a lot of labor. And
it's complicated.
And it's really complicated. And the Rutschman thing, I'll let you explain it, or I'll try to do a half-ass job of explaining it. But the bottom line is, in May of next year, in 9 months, chances are they're not playing Major League Baseball, according to everyone, according to them. I mean, they're making an appointment for this like it's a root canal, like not that's unavoidable. Okay. So if they don't play baseball next year, we wind up with all the Red Sox minor league system to come back in 28. And if you're Arrighetti and Rubenstein, 28 doesn't sound that far away, and you're a billionaire. What do you care that 729,000 people show up next year for the Orioles, or that the skyboxes don't sell, or you fire Katie Griggs and find a new one, or the revenue people leave because they can't sell anything? How do you go out on the sales force of the Orioles and sell season books this offseason? Do you want to work there selling a product that might not exist next year? I mean, I'm thinking about the people that wear suits inside the warehouse, Don Rovac's people.
But they're also viewing it, as we're talking about that topic, they're also viewing it through what does the system look like on the other side of a work stoppage, right? Is there a salary cap in place or something that feels a whole lot like a salary cap, right? With the salary cap, there would be a floor. I mean, the owners are even proposing a floor to go with the cap, right? So, yeah. There are a lot of
which
different
means
ways.
The Pirates would have to spend $140 million,
sure,
right?
Which, as you know, as much as people want to scream about the Dodgers and the Mets and the Yankees and Red Sox for years and years and years, I've complained about how next to nothing the teams at the bottom have spent, and arguing that they could spend more. But the point is, as you're assessing this as an ownership group, as a general manager around baseball, yeah, you are trying to put your wrap your head around what next year could look like. You have all kinds of outcomes, obviously.
Well, forget the baseball team. I'm talking about the state of the franchise,
sure.
Not just the players, the revenue, the fan base, your city, your stadium, your customers, your landlord. All of that plays into what happens to my rent if we're not using the stadium. Do I have to pay for that? Am I going to furlough employees? I mean, we don't have any tickets to sell. Why do I have a ticket sales staff? There's going to be all of that that's going to affect real humans, not Pete Alonso. Just because Pete Alonso is not getting a paycheck because he's off the job, he'll be fine. You know, it's everybody else that – it's the peanut vendors, literally, that get swept up in this. And this is 40 years of me witnessing this over these strikes.
Yeah, I mean – There's just a lot of uncertainty. And I think, you know, the range of outcomes is the sport shut down for the entire 2027 season. And what does that mean for player contracts, right? Does it become everything's just, you know, paused for a year and then you resume in 28? So that's the extreme. I mean, I guess the extreme would be even 20, you know, it could go on forever.
And Rutschman would say, no, I'm a free agent, dog.
Well, but that's the thing. you just, no one can predict that with certainty what's going to happen there. So if you're viewing it through the lens of, look, We've tried to extend Adley Rutschman on terms that make sense. Now, okay, maybe he'd accept an 8-year deal, but we don't think that's smart. And I would be the if they gave Adley Rutschman an 8-year deal today, I'd say they're nuts. I mean, seriously, I would have said that.
I don't know that they
But
could give him a 3-year, $60 million
I
deal, and I'd
think
look at it and say,
to me
can't you
a
spend that money somewhere else?
to me a 3 to 4 year deal at a term that's not like, oh, it makes him the, you know, he's not getting Tyler Linderbaum center money compared to the rest of the
He
catchers
hasn't
around
earned it. He's
baseball.
no longer a 1-1.
I no,
He's
I
a mediocre catcher with health issues
right,
who's pushing 30, right?
but I'm just saying there was for all of my anti-Adley Rutschman performance discussion of the last year or two, I'm saying sure, there were more reasonable medium-term contract extensions that I'd say, all right, you know, I'm not sure I love it, but it's
Reasonable to
fine.
you, but not reasonable to his agent, right? And
Sure.
so
Well, I
if
mean, whatever
the Orioles
player
have
pitches.
not indicated that they tried to sign him, they haven't even said that, right?
I mean,
They're too
has
close to the
Elias.
vest to be honest with their fan base. You pay the bills, right?
Yeah, I
Right.
mean.
I mean, it's a very easy thing to say is we attempted to extend him and we couldn't. It's just a sentence, and that means we offered him something. He said something. There doesn't need to be any, but that is a fair question. That's a real
It
fair
is.
question.
No, it is. But there's been some reporting indicating that they've tried that. Now, has Mike Elias directly said that?
Well, Machado looked me in the eye back in 17 in D.C. and said that they never offered him
I
anything.
also understand this, but at the same time,
That was different ownership. I hear that. Yeah.
if it's a player you have an affinity for, and Mike Elias, look, it's the first player he drafted,
He didn't want to
right?
trade Adley Rutschman, right?
I don't think he wanted to trade Adley Rutschman, and I think even now, by even like laying out that kind of, hey, we tried here and we tried here, and this is what we are. I don't think he wants to throw Adley Rutschman under the bus and make him look like the heel either. I think there's, as I've said, with these kind of scenarios, it's lose-lose. They haven't performed, right? The players haven't performed. One of the more refreshing, and I'm not trying to change the subject here, but you know, just trying to steer it slightly. Pete Alonso, first thing he said when in the clubhouse on Tuesday afternoon, look, when there are expectations and you don't live up to those expectations, there are consequences. And he's talking about the way the team's played on the field. Colton Cowser, one of the first things he said is, as players, you look at it and you ask, what could you have done more? You know, could you have done more to prevent this from happening? And he's talking about their performance and not winning.
Oh, if they're winning, Adley Rutschman's not dealable.
Right, exactly.
Right.
And now Mike Elias is probably losing sleep at night to say,
Well,
oh
it's
my gosh.
crazy because if they were 2 games ahead in the wild card instead of 2 games behind, it's 4 games. That's a couple blown saves, a
Yeah.
couple of this or that, right? Like, as bad as they've been, and we'll
Been
say
2
they're
years of
bad.
talk like that. You know what I mean? Like,
But if they're
you're
2 games
right.
over, they wouldn't have dealt Rutschman.
I wouldn't think so.
Right. So
Yeah, I mean.
a couple of games, like literally, if you are a player, if I just hit a 3-run homer in that 8th inning when there were 2 guys on, instead of striking out or
Yeah.
grounding out or popping out, because they've all had that opportunity,
Sure. And
especially Cowser. They've all struck out and with runners in scoring position plenty of times this year, all of them.
I think, you know, this is a bit extreme, but it's just what's come to mind at the moment. There's probably a little bit of survivor's guilt, right? Where you say, you know, just in terms of like, man, they traded him and look at how I played this year. Like, you know, I deserve to be shipped off, right? And obviously when these guys are being traded and they're going to contenders, right? So it's not the worst case scenario for, you know, Adley Rutschman and Tyler Wells and Taylor Ward and you know, even Dean Kramer going to Minnesota, right? But there's an emotional side to that. There's a human element side to that. I was listening to MLB Network Radio on Sirius just a couple of days ago, and I don't even know who the players were, but they had players, former players on talking about the trade deadline, and they were just sharing stories about being traded at the deadline, what that meant to their family, how that disrupted their kids, all kinds of stuff, right? And obviously some of the guys we mentioned aren't necessarily older players, but you know, some of these guys are married and have children, and you just see that. But that's a tough thing. Being traded in the middle of a season, there's a human element to that that's tough for everyone. But again, to go back to the overwhelming theme here, they haven't been good enough. If the Orioles were four games, six games, eight games over 500 right now. One, they'd be holding a playoff spot. And maybe even then we'd still be talking about them having an outside chance at making a push for the division, right? I mean, if they were eight games over 500 right now or something like that. And yeah, you know what? Not Adley Rutschman, Mike Elias might be struggling to sleep at night because he's looking at where Rutschman is with his contract and still knowing there's a labor situation that looms this winter. But he's saying, this team's in a playoff position. I can't do that now. But when you have a team that's been under 500 since April 30th, has been 20-plus games under 500 since early July of 2024, at some point you look at it and say, how much more of a sample size do you need? I mean, let's face it. And you thought they were going to buy at the trade deadline, and that's fine. I'm not like, that's not me like dunking on you or anything like that. But how many times have you expressed positivity about them over the last 3 months? Very fleeting periods of time, right? You've been mostly negative, as I have been. So I do look at it through the lens of, I think people just wanted to be mad no matter what was going to happen. I think they could have bought on Monday, and I think you would have had a certain segment of Orioles fans really ticked off about that. What are you doing trying to buy and bleed away prospects?
My case that I made to you and Alan that's been made here on the radio was, if there's a work stoppage next year, you better fight for your fans right now.
Fair enough.
And that's to me. You've dumped all this money in it, and there's 2 months more, and you've got 48,000 tickets available for every night the next 2 months. Pack it in and try to do the best you can do. Okay. And you know what? You're effing billionaires. Go buy some players next year. Strike or no strike. Go spend some more money. Go spend some more money.
Well, they
go
better
buy
go
another
do that.
Player.
They
you know what I mean? Like
that.
That's to me. We'll worry about next year. Next year, I got money in my pocket and a credit card. I'll worry about that tomorrow. The way I felt in New York the other night at the Rush concert. I'll live another day.
I mean, I'll,
you know,
they better,
like, literally.
They better be doing that regardless of what happened on Monday. Mike Elias has said that this isn't a rebuild. And I've said to you, this is not. They didn't tear things down to this.
They got two players from the Red Sox they expect to be on the team next year if there is a next year, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you kind of look at this. There's probably a decent Michael Ferret, the pitcher they got back from Tampa. He was in the Boz trade, and they got him back for Tyler Wells. Elias even said this. He's probably a handful of starts at Triple-A away from getting a cup of coffee in September. I mean, that's where his development is in their mind, and probably didn't hurt him that he went to Tampa for – you know, less than a calendar year, but just knowing how good they are with pitching. So, yeah, you kind of look at this thing. I mean, I've said it to you, the one guy that they didn't trade, Trevor Rogers, man, I don't know. I'm guessing it's not going to happen, at least in the timetable of the next couple months, but they're certainly going to qualify offer him, and we'll see what happens. We'll see what that part of it is. As
my
far
point
as
is, the offseason, they can have any
sure.
Rodgers they want, any pitcher they want, any
they
Taylor Ward they want, you know.
But if they sign Rodgers, like, think about this. If they announced over the course of the next week a contract extension with Trevor Rodgers that looks somewhere, you know, it's going to be more than Bradish or Boz because this is a guy that's hitting free agency, not a couple years away from it. So, yeah, I think you would expect to pay more if you did that. But think about it if you did. Regardless, and they have money to spend. Look, Mike Elias just saved David Rubenstein and Michael Arrighetti money at the trade deadline. Now, it's not extraordinary, but I think it counting what projected salaries were for these guys next year, I think it was in the neighborhood of, I think Jacob Calvin-Meyer said $30 million. I haven't looked at it to say the exact number, but point is they saved some money. But if you've signed Trevor Rogers, think about what your rotation is before even going into the offseason. You have, in any order you want to throw these guys, Bradish, Boz, Trevor Rogers, and a Brandon Young who's having a terrific season. That look, I'm not going to sit here and say Brandon Young is going to guaranteed to duplicate what he's done, but he's pitched well enough, long enough now to at least pencil him into the rotation for next year, unless he performs his way out of it, right? Which is the case with anyone. So you look at it through that lens. If you were to keep Rogers, you've got four of your five spots kind of sort of
And
locked
you don't
in.
need to deal for Corbin Burns in the offseason or go get him real
Yeah, I
one.
mean,
You're not you're looking at it like, okay, we can survive with this, and we can go sign someone, we can trade for someone, we can make that August deal next year.
you could,
I'm pretending
or
there's a season next year.
and you also have a spot where you say, all right, well, what about Anthony Ianson, who they just acquired? Joseph Jirua, who they drafted last year, who is pretty rapidly, next year might be too soon, but point is, he's interesting. I mentioned Ferret. Kyson Witherspoon was the other Red Sox pitcher they
This feels
got.
like a fleecing for Adley Rutschman, who did not feel like over the
Again,
last 2 or 3 years that he's really Adley Rutschman. The Red Sox are all shinied up on him, and I'm like, I don't know, dude. We watched him here for a couple of years. Other than that first 4 months and the first half of the next year, and that was 3 years ago,
it was longer than that. He was the team MVP even as a rookie
for a
in
year and a
22.
half, for a year and a half, right?
2023, he was an all-star player, really, really, really good. 2024, he had an excellent first half, right? And again, he wasn't bad. He had rebounded this year. There's no question about that. But the durability concerns have continued, and he's going to be another year older. And that's where that's why I was so out on the idea of an extension beyond, 3 years, 4 years,
Well, people think we
maybe.
got more for him than they got for Skubal with the Dodgers.
Yeah, well, it is the difference of a year and a half of a player compared to a rental.
Sure.
I mean, no, but I would say, yeah, I mean, you kind of, and keep in mind the other factor for Skubal, and it's was a lot of money that you're paying a guy for 2 months, right? Where for the Dodgers, it's a drop in the bucket. For other teams, right or wrong, I'm not excusing them. Yes, there are other teams that absolutely could have gotten Tarek Skubal, but you look at the margin for error, right? We've said this over and over. You know me. How many times have you heard me say it's not the Dodgers don't win simply because they have the most money or they spend the most money? They're really freaking smart on top of that. However, when they have moves that go awry, as is the case with everyone, no one bats a thousand. They have such a much wider margin for error to cover up those mistakes,
Well, it's
right?
like the United
And
States
that,
of America right now. Our
yeah.
GDP is so great that we can have a complete
Sure.
tyrannical maniac running the country, and we're probably going to survive this. Maybe, I hope at least. The Yankees and Dodgers live differently. And, I would even say this with going back to the original point, which is Elias loved Adley Rutschman, didn't want to trade him, didn't want to do any of that. And then there's the point where the old fans, the Trump voters, how you deal in division, huh? It's heresy, deal. I don't know, dude. We dealt with the Yankees back in the 70s and won
Yeah.
and went to two World Series because we fleeced them. So if you're gonna fleece the other team, and if that's the feeling that Elias has, and you've just made some points that maybe he has fleeced the other team, and I think both you and
We'll
I would look at
see.
Adley Rutschman and say, you can have him at this point. You can have him at this point. I don't want to sign him. I don't want him long term. I don't know that I want Bisaccia being my catcher, but to think of Adley Rutschman as a quote unquote superstar? Nah. He's
Well,
just
and
an above average catcher for me. I mean,
well, and
and on
that's
the decline based on his age alone, on the decline based on what I've seen with my eyes as well.
well, and you used the term superstar, and that's what triggered this. I mean, let's call a spade from July 1st, 2024 on. Adley Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson. Now, Gunnar this year may way more extreme his struggles, of course, but those two guys on July 1st, 2024, anyone asked, who are the Orioles superstars? Who are the faces of the franchise? Who are the aircraft carriers for this franchise moving forward? You'd say two names, Adley Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson. How have they played since then? Have they played like superstars? No. That is the biggest reason.
They haven't played like superstars. They haven't behaved like superstars. They haven't.
I don't know.
Rutschman's fielded
I don't
like a
know about
superstar,
behave.
but Henderson looks like he's not out taking ground balls at 2 o'clock today. Like, so I don't.
We're
I think
back.
these guys were anointed superstars before they were to some degree, and I think that plays differently in Baltimore and in this town than it would play in Philadelphia or Boston if you're hitting 212 at the All-Star break.
I mean, I don't know about your point about ground balls at 2 o'clock. Where's that coming from? But
No, the Henderson becoming a better fielder. Becoming a better fielder
okay,
doesn't
but
feel like that's going to happen or that that's a priority. When you're hitting 212, all you care about is getting in the cage and fixing that. I've been around baseball long enough. The
okay,
most
I mean,
important thing he can do is hit the ball. I just don't think he's a well-rounded Superstar for me doesn't mean you're a liability in the field, even if I put you third base. I mean, there's a point in all of this for both of these guys that they were aircraft carrier superstar, and they both put numbers up for a very short period of time in the baseball, in the annals of baseball. A year or two of being a superstar is Joe Charbonneau to me. Mike Young did that one year, you know, like that. That's different than you have this incredible value to the franchise over 5 to 10 years. Let's say the way Adam Jones did, or you know, the way players consistently were consistent. Both of these guys have had a real problem with that, and that's
Yeah.
really caused
I
the
don't argue.
franchise to spit up.
Yeah, I don't argue. I thought you were questioning their work ethic, which I think, you know,
No, no, no,
I
no.
think,
I'm
yeah,
questioning
that's
whether
and
he's
that's
ever
fine.
going to be a good defender.
He's been a good defender in the past. I mean, like we can sit here and
He's been a great
debate.
hitter in the past, but
No,
the
but I'm
past
just
ain't
saying,
now, right?
go back and there were strong sentiments about moving Gunnar to shortstop 3 years ago. But one, Jorge Mateo wasn't hitting at the time, but two, Gunnar was showing he could handle it. And I would still say there are stretches where Gunnar plays really good shortstop, but it's so up and down, right? It's not a lack of ability. Point. But that aside, just going back to the bigger point, look, people want to be mad at Mike Elias, right? In the same way that Ravens fans just want to be pissed at John Harbaugh for everything that went wrong for the Ravens, right? At some point in time, you do have to hold players accountable. Right? At some point in time, look, Mike Elias put together a team. Do I think Mike Elias should continue on considering they're in this kind of second phase, second era of, you know, and it's not a full rebuild. It's not. They still have a lot of players on this team that hypothetically should be important winning parts of a ball club, right? Including Pete Alonso for 4 more years, right? So, including the pitchers they've extended. But I just look at it and say, where does, you know, the player accountability also has to kick in, right?
The kicker misses the kick and the owner
Yeah.
fires the coach.
Right. And let me be clear. This isn't me saying that Mike Elias isn't accountable. Ultimately, Mike Elias is the one who constructed this
He's the
team.
only one that can be accountable at the end of
Sure.
the day for hiring and firing because he has as much power as anybody I've ever seen here.
But I would say in terms of the reaction to trading Adley Rutschman got himself traded too. He didn't play well, right? If he were playing much better over the last couple of years, I'm guessing the Orioles aren't in this space, at least on August 3rd, 2026, right? They might be trading him, but maybe it's not to the winter, right? It's something along
He was
those
a better
lines.
player. They would have no reason to want to get rid of him.
Sure. So, and you know, it's not that they wanted to get rid of him, but you just look at the reality of how much do you want him? Can you keep him? And if he balks at what you're offering, what's your other choice here? Just let it play out. Get pennies on the dollar like they did with Manny Machado.
And then there's the labor issue of, are we going to
And
play
there's the
baseball
labor
next
issue.
year?
Sure. I mean,
And
think
that goes
about
back to the original part of this, which is
it's
the
very
Red Sox have
uncertain.
rented even less of Rutschman if there's less of next
Potentially,
year, and
or they
that's
extend
more of a
them.
haul for the Orioles franchise to have younger players and five of them.
I mean, I would say this. If you're the Red Sox, don't you, unless Adley Rutschman just completely crashes and burns from here as a player, they kind of almost have to extend him, don't they? I mean, think about what they just gave up for a year and 2 months at most, and potentially way less than that. And oh, yeah. He's still not playing yet, right? He's still on the IL. It doesn't sound like, you know, maybe in the next week or so, maybe 2 weeks, he's back. But you just look at that, man, they are pot committed for this year for them to win and for, you know, what they gave up for him. I mean, it
Well,
kind of,
and he's going to find a whole different bag of bones in the Boston media clubhouse.
if he doesn't perform, I mean, if he performs, I'll love him, right? I
And
mean,
by the way, he didn't go there when they were asleep. He went there after they won 15 games in a row, and they're
absolutely.
expecting to make the
Well,
playoffs.
yeah,
And they're expecting him to be a huge part of it.
it's funny. I don't know if I made this point to you the other day, but since we were on the
By the
Red
way, he's hurt
Sox.
for the third time this year. Is that right? I want to be
Yeah,
accurate to that.
yeah. I
Okay.
mean,
So he's hurt for the third time. You just took him on, and
I
he
would
is
say
your
this.
savior to some degree, or going to be a catalyst to continue this surge that the Red Sox are on, right?
Yeah, well, and I'll say this again, the three times he's been on, the second time, remember, he got hit in the side of the ear with an errant throw, right? That's not, oh, this guy can't stay healthy. That's bad luck, right? That could have happened to Cal Ripken at some point in his over the course of the streak. Who knows? But I think with Rutschman, I mean, look, he could be the next Jason Varitek there, and they re-sign him and they love him, and maybe the Red Sox win two more titles, and maybe he has a resurgence to, no, not become the player that everyone dreamed him becoming in 2019 or 2020 or 2021, but the best version of how he looked this year when he was healthy.
Carlton Fisk.
Can we say that, you know? I'm not ready to say Carlton Fisk even, but there's a scenario for that. But there's also a scenario that he continues to get hurt. Maybe they don't extend him. And then a year from now at this time, assuming they're playing baseball by next August, I hope so. But they're looking at that and saying, oh, man, Breslow really jumped the gun on that. We wanted him to be more aggressive, and that's been the story in Boston. The last few trade deadlines, look at them. You know, they've really operated a lot more like the Orioles, right? Craig Breslow, as far as their – go look at their trade deadlines. They got some players where, you know, okay, guys that they thought would help and didn't really help that much. I mean, it was great. I know you're not a streaming guy, but Netflix did kind of a Hard Knocks documentary with the Red Sox going over the 2024 season. It was over the course of that season. It was like six parts, something like that. And they did a whole, you know, episode on the trade deadline. And it was really interesting just to kind of see how that works, how that looks. But you kind of looked at the players that they acquired at the deadline 2 years ago. Didn't really work out for them at all. You know, kind of reminded you of things the Orioles have done at the trade deadline when they've been buyers. So they obviously made a really bold move. We're going to see if it works out. But on the flip side, look, you can sit here for the Orioles and say, hey, we really like Anthony Ianson, and we really like Kyson Witherspoon, and we like the guys we got in the other deals we made. But can you, one, finish developing them, and two, can you keep them healthy? Especially pitchers, right? I said it to you the other day. You look at this system now. You look at their top 30 or let's say top 15 prospects. Right now, I'm looking at the MLB pipeline, their top 30. Number one in the system, pitcher. Number four in the system, pitcher. Number six and seven, pitcher. Number 10, 11, 12, 13, pitcher. Number 15 in the system, pitcher. That is a stark contrast from where this farm system has been.
Which was Ortiz, Kerstad, Kowser, that was all position players.
Almost
right?
All. And really,
other than Grayson Rodriguez, DL Hall.
Who were holdovers from the previous regime, right?
Right.
So I said to you, if I'm trying to lay out an argument here, if Mike Elias is going to stay, and I'm not making the argument that he should, but to your point, all that matters is how David Rubenstein and Michael Arrighetti and the rest of the ownership group feel. If they continue to be confident in Mike, he's going to be there. Good, bad, or indifferent as far as how
I would think Cal Ripken's opinion matters a lot to these guys because he's their mole.
Yeah.
And if Cal Ripken gets along with Elias and there's detente there and they want to work together. And I'm not even convinced Cal Ripken's even working there. I other than sitting behind, like, does he go to an office? Does he scout? That'd be my first question for all these people, because all of it is shrouded in bourgeois secrecy, losing and raising prices and lying and their social media nonsense and the Mr. Magoo owner that shows up and all the money they're throwing out. Nobody's coming to the ballpark, like on and on and on. But if I had a real question at this point, I'd ask Ryan Ripken, because he knows everything. What's your dad doing? What is Cal's role in this? Because I don't really know. And I don't know how to explain it to listeners. If anybody asked me, I'd only be guessing. So, I mean, to me, the fact that they are so secretive about everything, and then the menorah hits the fan, and it's not Cal's fault. It's not Rubenstein's fault. Well, it's got to be Elias's fault. Well, it was Rutschman's fault. Let's blame the players. Like, it goes around and around and around, but
it's Elias's fault. I mean,
Okay.
you don't
And
need
I
to
don't think
hear.
Cal Ripken wants to hear from me or anybody. I don't think he
But
wants
I'm
to be
just saying
involved in that way.
I mean,
But
it's.
he is on the streets. Fans are like, well, Cal's are going to pick their new general. I don't know what Cal does other than pap a wave and stand behind home plate and make commercials when they ask him. I
Well,
literally
look.
don't know. I'm not being flippant, but he's not Brady Anderson in this. He's not that role.
No.
Although it's perceived he's Cal. And I'm like, I don't think Cal's watching baseball all day to like be up on all this and putting his life aside to shadow Mike Elias around, but fans seem to think that in some way.
I don't think that many fans think that. I think some fans want him to be
Fair
more in that
enough.
role. I think, there's been what I guess The Athletic a few months, 2 months back, let's say, that he's, and I don't even know if this is hands on. He's had some input in terms of things they need to be doing differently in the minor leagues. Mike Schilt is part of their organization. They hired back in the offseason, former major league manager. So I think that shows an awareness of what we've seen at the major league level, which I think stems from things not being taught
A
properly
baseball
in
issue,
the
right?
minor
Okay.
league. No, but in the minor leagues and in these guys' development,
An Oriole Way Ripken
something
baseball
like
thing,
that.
right?
Now,
Okay.
that said, does that mean Cal's putting in 40 hours a week doing that? I don't think anything remotely like that, right? I think it's probably more in an advisor, maybe taking a look at things here or there. Like, that would be my guess. I don't know that for certain, right? But the idea that Cal Ripken is suddenly working full time in baseball at age 66 in a couple weeks, no, I no,
But when they fire Elias, I'm sure he's going to at least be
I would think
dusted
so.
off to be one of the people involved in
Well,
finding a new person, I
yeah,
guess.
because you would assume, like, Cal's been in baseball his whole life. You would hope if, and I'm not remotely convinced they're firing Mike Elias.
Nor am I.
If you ask me right now, I think he's their general manager, at least for next year. And part of that is also, well, think about it. They promoted him to president of baseball operations last year. Generally speaking, when you are promoted to a new title, doesn't that entail a new contract? Usually, some kind of bump or
So you think
years.
he's got 3 more years on the tab at
Well,
least?
I would
I mean, these
say,
guys are billionaires. Giving him $5 million
I
to go
understand
away
that.
is nothing.
Well, I'm going to use the same point that we were just talking about as it pertained to roster building. Are you really, hot and heavy about the idea of hiring a replacement if the sport's shutting down, right? And then you're just sitting there, you bring in a new GM, and then guess what? You can't conduct any business. There are no winter meetings if, like all that stuff gets banged if there's a lockout. So you can hire a new GM, and yeah, you could do things here or there and infrastructure this or reshuffling this, but
You're running a minor league operation next year if you're in if we're in a lock
that's
work
so
workstop
that's so
lockout.
that's where you kind of look at it through the lens of maybe, again, I'm giving ownership a lot of credit here. I don't know if they know what they're doing at all, right? No one knows. We're gonna,
I can't ask them questions to figure out whether they know what they're doing. And
but
based on what I see when they show up, they don't. They don't. I have no confidence in them. I
and that's
wouldn't give them my money. They won't allow me to ask questions. And if I did, they'd answer them with Bouja. And I'm not down with Bouja, so they won't sit in front of me. I noticed the other day, dude, and I'm not here to defecate upon them. I'm telling you what I see. There was a wide angle picture, I think in the banner, of Elias sitting in the dugout holding court on whatever it was, Tuesday, whenever it was. And Melanie Newman's on one side of him and Rock Kabako's on the other side. He's got coworkers in on him. And I'm wondering, and I hear the press conference stuff, and there's not much coming out of it, but it's so incestuous, the Orioles and the Greg Bader, Angelos fallout world of whatever Eric Gedde and Rubenstein think they bought, and where Elias has job for life now, according to you a minute ago, like he's going to
I didn't
survive
say
all
a job
this.
for
Well, he's
life.
going to survive all this because he's their baseball guy.
I said for next year because of the lockout.
That's a long time. That's two. That's
But that's
four
not
seasons into the
forever.
new ownership.
Let's not put Luke in, let's not put words in Luke's mouth. I didn't say forever. I said because potentially he had a brand new contract, and if you have a work stoppage anyway, in the same way you're talking about the Adley Rutschman thing, what? So you're going to pay two general managers to not play baseball.
Fair
You know what I
enough.
mean? And
Yeah.
that's the point I'm making for that. I don't know if that's true. I'm just trying to spitball here, looking at this like anyone else, right? But just to go back to what I was talking about the pitchers before we went off on a tangent here a little bit. It does really feel like they've subtly shifted to being more pitching centric, quite frankly. First of all, it's been their strength this year since late May. Their starting pitching's been the best phase of this team since, May 20th or whatever that the date is that we've all kind of circled on the calendar and looked at the numbers since then. So, and it is interesting to look at their system now and say, yeah, you kind of look at the top 15, it's littered with pitching prospects. Now, are all those guys going to work out? Of course not. And we can all remember the Andy McPhail with the throw the arms by the bats and how underwhelming that ended up being. And the position talent is actually what kind of was the only thing that kind of saved Andy McPhail's legacy, right? Because those pitchers largely didn't work out. Tillman was about the only one that from that group, and Zach Britton becoming a closer, right? But not a starter. We'll see how that works out. But if you're talking about a second act for Mike Elias, as the trade of Adley Rutschman signifies, right? It's not a full-blown rebuild, but it's a reload. It's a little bit of a, I don't know, a reset, if you want to call it that. If he's going to continue, and again, that's not me endorsing that. I'm just speaking reality and what kind of feels like this is going to happen. It does look like more of a pitching bias in terms of more than it used to be, let's say. I don't want to say it, it's not like they drafted a pitcher in the first round this year, right? I mean, like,
Well,
not.
Elias knows his own deficiencies at that point. I don't think he's that unaware that the pitching has always been the hardest job he has to do in the offseason because they haven't done a good enough job in the season, right? They're
But I
always
would.
having to get a Corbin Burns or sign an Eflin or sign a. And other organizations have that too, but it's because they haven't had it. We didn't even talk about Cade Povich. They haven't had enough Cade Povich's and Brandon Youngs come through the system and be Miguel Gonzalez, be something that's a surprise as opposed to a disappointment in the case of Grayson Rodriguez.
Well, and I would also say this. I mean, I don't disagree with what you just said, but what was supposed to be the strength of all this hasn't been the strength of this. Relative to expectations, what has been the most.
Superstar position players, a superstar catcher, a superstar shortstop, a superstar second baseman. You bought a superstar first baseman. That was how this was going to happen for them.
They haven't hit relative to expectation, right? Yes, at last year, the pitching was worse than the hitting, right? But relative to expectation, their offense has been the most disappointing element of this ball club for 2 years now. Am I wrong?
Strikeouts. Runners in scoring position, ducks on the pond,
They don't
long
hit
fly balls,
for
lots of
as much.
strikeouts.
They haven't hit for as much power. Now, they walked more this year, although Taylor Ward was a big part of that, but Jackson Holliday's walked way more. Jackson Holliday's. I wrote it. I'll say it. These final 2 months, if there's one thing that can happen that can spark some hope and optimism moving forward, it would be Jackson Holliday looking more and more like the guy he was in
Like a
July. With
star, not a
July, with
superstar, but just a star.
he had a great July. He's not going to have a 500 on base percentage the last 2 months. I'm not like, let's not get nuts here. It's not Barry Bonds, but. If he can look more like that guy, I mean, that was the best offensive month of his career by a wide margin. If he can look more like that guy over the last 2 months, boy, that would ease some of the sting of the idea of Adley Rutschman going away, wouldn't it? I mean, it absolutely would. And obviously, Pasayo needs to come back,
It's funny how Holliday's
because he's still young enough.
expectation on him is less than it was on Rutschman. There's less fire on him as a 1-1 than there was for Rutschman.
I mean, I think the thing that gives him a little bit of cover is he was a high school player compared to a college player. He's young. Adley Rutschman, my goodness, Adley Rutschman was already, what, 24 when he came to the majors? Now, COVID interfered with that. The idea that the Orioles weren't trying to win Rutschman's first couple of years in professional baseball. So they weren't in a rush to get him to the majors, obviously. But I think for Jackson Holliday, he's younger. He moved through the system so rapidly. I think that's where there's, and look, the difference. Rutschman was the savior,
They're
right? He was
6 years apart.
He was anointed
In
as
age, I'm saying they're 6 years
sure.
apart. So 6 years from now is where Jackson, what is Jackson Ahle going to do? Well, 6 years from now, he could be on the Rangers and making a lot of money. But like, there's a lot of tread for Jackson Holliday, a lot of at bats in the next two,
Potentially,
3 years to get him to catch up to Adley Rutschman and say he could far outperform Adley Rutschman's body of work here over the next 3 years.
I mean, or even just say, hey, can you get closer to where Adley Rutschman was at his peak? He's got a long way to go for that, right? I mean, Adley Rutschman's a three-time All-Star. You know,
Fair enough.
but Holiday finishing the season on a high note, that to me, that feels like, and it's not just symbolic because he's a real player, right? I'm not, but from a symbolic standpoint, because I think we all see the writing on the wall for Gunner. He's gone at some point in the next year, year and a half, right? I mean, you would think, you know, he's a Scott Boras client on top of everything else, right? So, but, and Holiday is too, like, but he's much further away, right? He's much earlier in his major league career. He's right now where Gunnar and Adley Rutschman were back in 2023, 2024, right? Compared to now. So is there more runway for Holiday to start looking more and more like an all-star caliber player rather than what he's been to this point, which is, you know, I mean, at times very much below average, but you know, for me, he's looked much closer to just being an okay player, which, you know, that's obviously not what you're looking for when with a 1-1, but a lot of season to go in, and it's going to be, you know, for those who keep paying attention, I mean, they're game and a half out of the wild card after winning against the Angels on Tuesday night, but you know, there are still things to look at and wonder about and ask questions about with this team the rest of the way. And you just want to see the young guys, as I've been saying for 2 years now, play better. If those guys can play better going into the offseason, no matter what happens with the lockout, none of us know exactly there, then you can at least feel better about things. But you know, I think a lot of fans right now are ticked and pissed off and mad, and I don't blame them one bit because where they stand right now is not what was advertised 2, 3, 4 years ago, let alone when Mike Elias first began and laid out his master plan to rebuild the franchise.
He's Luke Jones. He's Baltimore Luke. We are going to be doing it all week long here with baseball, with football, getting into August. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. I have the Raven Scratch-Offs. Luke will be out in Ravenlandia here this week. I'll be at the Orioles game on Thursday afternoon with Robbie Leonard has invited me. You know, when I go to day games, it's got to be 90 degrees, so I'm sure it's going to be warm. We're going to be down at Fadley's before the game, having a beer and a crab cake as well. So, getting ourselves out and about. Our friends at Farnan and Dermer are always there for you. They are the comfort guys. Zach Dermer stopped by last week. We talked about how do you teach your 6-year-old how to play baseball by watching the Orioles play defense. That was a little bit of the comedy. That's when Rutschman was still here. Plenty of baseball ahead as well. And we get the Crab Cake Tour out. I'm bringing by lots of different folks. We have a political season here. I've got some rock stars coming on later on this month as well. So it is a good month around here. We are celebrating our 28th anniversary as of Monday at WNST. Big appreciation to everybody out there who supports us, shares us, likes us. And even if you like Luke and don't like me, I appreciate you. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Plenty of Zay Flowers ahead. Stay with us.